This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel continues defending its airstrike on Doha, even though around the world, the move has been soundly criticized.
The strike causing international outcry. Qatar condemning the attack, calling it state terrorism and accusing Israel of sabotaging ceasefire talks. Israel says it was entirely justified, though Hamas called it a failure, claiming that none of its leaders were killed. Instead, they say it only killed security guards and the son of a Hamas leader, as well as a member of the Qatari security forces.
ABC's James Longman in Doha. Russia says it did not deliberately target Poland when drones were sent over the border and into Polish airspace. Polish and NATO air defenses were scrambled, shooting down the drones. A Russian airstrike on pensioners picking up their checks in eastern Ukraine this week, killing 24. Inflation at the wholesale level eased a bit last month. The producer price index down 2.6% on a yearly basis. Tomorrow, we find out about price indexes at the consumer level. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Another major Democratic Party candidate has entered the race for governor in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
The Milwaukee County executive is attempting to appeal to the rest of the state in his campaign announcement video posted this morning.
To the single mom in Eau Claire looking for affordable, dependable child care, I hear you. To the union worker in Sheboygan taking an extra shift today to make the end of the month a little bit easier, I see you. To the dad in Platteville working towards your degree after tucking your kids in good night, I am you. I'm David Crowley, and I'm running to be governor for all of us. Wisconsin, let's get to work.
David Crowley formally announced his run for governor, becoming the third Democrat to join the race following Governor Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term. Crowley released a campaign video connecting his own experience with hardship as a child to the struggles many families still face today.
That boy who was homeless is a homeowner, where my wife Erica and I are raising our three daughters. My story is not unique. My story is Wisconsin's story.
Crowley says he's had success in job creation, cutting carbon emissions, and property tax relief while advocating for greater local government funding. Crowley took aim at Republicans and President Donald Trump, saying their leadership has brought chaos and division to the state. Crowley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Ryan Sternad in competing for the Democratic nomination. Republicans Josh Shulman and Bill Berrien have officially declared their bids. Republican Representative Tom Tiffany is expected to announce soon. The primary election will be held in August, with November's general election deciding the next governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Crowley is hosting an event in La Crosse today, just 2 days after Sarah Rodriguez had an event here in La Crosse as well. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the Brewers and the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball this afternoon, where the Rangers host the Brewers to wrap up their three-game series in Arlington, Texas. The Rangers winning again last night, 5-4, thanks to another great performance by their rookie center fielder, Michael Hellman. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Take your hat off to Texas. They made great defensive plays. I mean, kid in center field, he changed the game. Runs down Durbin's ball and then robs a home run from Terang.
NFL, the Packers signed Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million. They host the Washington Commanders tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers play at number 19th ranked Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Wisconsin has not beat a ranked team on the road in 4 years.
We hear the noise. We try and block it out as much as we can, but we hear it. So just being able to go out there and prove ourselves right. You know, we work just as hard as anyone else, if not harder, and we're excited for our opportunity to show that.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog early, along with a spotty shower or two. Otherwise, you can expect increasing sunshine with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s, sunny and summery on Thursday with a high of 79. Currently, it's 62.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Brian Kennedy, mayor of Glendale and national president of Democratic Municipal Officials, on getting yourself trained to run for local office.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently vacating, but she'll be back before you know it. If you want to get in touch with us, if you want to call, our number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Basically, we're here for another hour. We got another hour of great programming ahead. But there's also wonderful, wonderful programming happening after we are off the air today, including the Tom Hartman Show, which is on from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then following that is our very own, our beloved Todd Alba, who will be on from 2 to 4. He's going to be talking to Pat Kreitlow, who was on our show yesterday, and Trigley Olson, who is the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, and looking for headlines around Wisconsin and the nation that really... You know, that hook into us. So what are we talking about around the nation? What are we talking about as Wisconsinites? And they're going to be discussing those news stories today at 2. And then he is going to be joined at 3:35 by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who announced his Democratic candidacy for the governor's race in 2026. So you don't want to go anywhere. That's coming up during the Todd Alba Show. We've got Maggie Dawn at 4 to 6. She is going to be speaking from the Cap Times Ideas Fest with Norm Eisen, who is a panelist, and discussing broad appeal with Kristen Dassler-Alfheim, state senator. They're going to be talking about her time in public service. It's going to be a great time. You really need to get this civic media lineup in your life. After Maggie Dawn is Pete Schwab with Nightlife, it is fantastic. If you want to listen to all of that, go to civicmedia.us. Stream it live there, or get the Civic Media app in your life and you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. But that is the rest of the lineup. We'll talk more about that as we go on. But for right now, we have in the studio, well, not in the studio, in our live stream studio, Rick Reed, who is an economics instructor at Fox Valley Technical College. He is our gentleman who is in charge of all knowledge that is economics, because I am econ adjacent. I once looked at a course catalog and it said economics, and I said maybe, and then I never did. So that's as far as I got with economics. Rick, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate your time. How are you doing? Back to school, so you got to be busy, I'm sure.
Oh, it is a hectic time right now. Yeah. Absolutely, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, you reached out to us, and I'm glad you did, because I told you in the email, I was the day you reached out, I'm like, we haven't spoken to Rick Reed in a while, and there is stuff going on. And I wanted to start really at the top with what you were discussing, which is these, war between the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, and Donald Trump. Now, granted, Jerome Powell did not start this. He did not lob the first bomb. He's just a guy doing his job. And we know what the Fed chair is. We know that we know those names, but it's not a very sexy title, nor is it a sexy position. Your job is numbers, and it's doing your best to make sure that the things that are happening in America's economy are reflected in the numbers, so we can understand where we need to move our needle as far as policy, as far as resources. That's his job. And here comes Donald Trump saying, darn it, lower interest rates. So let's start there. Why is it not a good idea for a president to tell a Fed chair to lower interest rates?
Ah, okay. Thank you for having me on. First of all, I wanted to say that the views I express are representative for me, not necessarily for Fox Valley Technical.
Of course. Thank you.
But the main concern among economists is what I'll nickname the H-bomb, and I'll get back to that in a second.
Okay.
I just want to kind of give a little bit of background so that because a lot of people don't really know what the Fed does, how it got there, why we have them, and what difference it makes. This is a government employee, and, you know, gee, can't we just hire and fire them at will? Here's the thing. If you take a look, and when you talk to economists, you'll always have them, a common phrase that you'll hear them say is, on the one hand, this, and on the other hand, that. So I'm going to start off with that. On the one hand, you have fiscal policy being determined by the executive branch in concert with Congress. Okay.
Rick has got a visual aid. Yes. All right, keep going.
Little visual aid there for the video.
Love it.
Viewers there, right? Fiscal policy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that this is a negotiated process through the budget between Congress and the president, right? And it's meant to be long and drawn out so that we give good thought to how we spend, tax, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we have monetary policy.
Move the hand over, Rick. There we go. I want to see your face. There we go. There we go. Perfect.
And monetary policy is the purview of the United States Central Bank, which is called the Federal Reserve. Now, I just threw a term out there, what the central bank is, and pretty much every country will have a central bank. And it's generally charged with managing the amount of money in circulation, managing things like interest rates, managing bank security, et cetera, okay? Interbank transfers, and so on. So you've got two different groups of things that can influence the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of them. Oh, and I should also mention.
You need to bring in
the fiscal.
Bring in a student just for a third hand there.
Absolutely. Whenever you have a question, just raise your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So on the fiscal side, those are elected participants, right? And that's important to recognize. And it's very different from on the monetary policy where they are appointed. They're appointed by the president, confirmed by Congress. So whether we're talking about fiscal policy or monetary policy, their actions can either be, if you use the analogy of traveling in a car, they can be a gas pedal or a brake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now think about it. When you're driving along a highway, if you're headed down a hill, is that the time to step on the gas? Maybe not.
No.
Right? You might be getting too reckless there, and it might create some hazards down the road. And likewise, as you're headed up the hill into rough terrain, it may not be the best time to step on the brake. Right? So it's important to recognize that both fiscal policy and monetary policy have gas and brake pedals. The Federal Reserve, in charge of monetary policy, is charged with what's known as a dual mandate of price stability and full employment. Now, full employment not only refers to employees, but full employment of the economy, making sure that, you know, factories are running, you know, we're reaching our full potential, right? And that those two things combined lead to steady economic growth. Stable prices is very important. Now, the tricky thing about that dual mandate is you could do either one. You could maximize either one if you didn't have to worry about the other one. Anybody could do it. Literally anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty simple. Doing them together and being mindful that what you do with prices could influence unemployment, that's a lot trickier and is a lot more nuanced in terms of what you do. On the fiscal side of things, remember that you've got elected officials and their main objective is doing good for the country, right? And doing good means things like national defense.
Okay. Good. Thank you for qualifying.
Yeah, making sure that we're all safe. The broader things that we want government to do.
Yeah.
And that involves spending money that they collect through taxes. And by virtue of a budget, between taxing and spending, they've got to be able to balance a budget, right? But the other force in play for fiscal policy is that these people are elected. So in addition to doing good in all these range of things that we do as a government, they have an incentive to also do things that will help them get reelected. So as an example, I can't recall the last time I heard a politician that got elected promote raising taxes on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Vote for me, I'll raise your taxes.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a, you know, not a very popular thing to say.
Yeah. It's hard to take raising your taxes and make it sound palatable, even though raising your taxes will help the investment in the country if used properly. But if you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we are speaking to Rick Reed, who is an economics instructor at Fox Valley Technical College. He's brought this. Okay, if there's ever a reason to watch the live stream, it's today. Rick has brought visual aids and really fun banter. And we're talking about the role of the Fed chair, the importance of it. And, you know, all of those things you're saying to me right now, when it comes to the appointed side, is that this country is better off having folks, especially a Fed chair, who is well-versed, experienced of all the nuance that goes into this entire process. You can't just have someone in the chair's office that says, well, just lower their interest rates. Just do it. Just do it right now, because then we'll do that and America will be great again. And I don't want to get into the politics with you, Rick, because I know you've made it very clear this is not the opinion of the college. And I'm not trying to employ your opinion on the politics, but what I'm seeing in the news as a news reader is just this, you know, everything you just said, which was informed and dealt with the nuance, and it makes sense. You have a guy in the White House saying, yeah, I don't care. Lower the interest rates now, because, and I'm in a Atlantic article that came out. It's about putting, I'm going to use your parlance, foot on the gas for the economy so that the economy grows under the Republicans. And when it doesn't, it can be blamed on the Democrats. And that's not how we should do things in this country. We need to look at strong fiscal policy, how it's implemented, so that we can be growing consistently no matter who is in the White House.
Right, exactly. And the thing is, when Congress established the Federal Reserve, it designed it, and there are a lot of structural features to the Federal Reserve that make it much less likely to be influenced by politics.
Mm-hmm.
By design.
Yeah.
By design. The term of a Federal Reserve governor is 14 years, and so a president maximum will have 8 years, right? So the idea is to be able to separate it to the extent possible from any political influence. So what happens? Here's the question. What's the fear if suddenly the executive branch, or for that matter, Congress manages day to day, the executive branch is the real concern,
mm-hmm.
Because it's one person and they can move quickly. What's the concern? Well, that's where we get into, again, what I call the H-bomb. Do you remember the movie from 1990, Home Alone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And everybody that ever watched that video, or Home Alone 2, 3, 4.
We don't watch Home Alone 3 in this house. There's no such thing as Home Alone 3. Go on.
Okay. All right. Home Alone 1 or 2 anyway.
Yeah.
So anybody that watched that remembered Macaulay Culkin's reaction, right? If you have monetary policy and fiscal policy influenced by elected officials, you get the Macaulay Culkin Home Alone response to the economy.
Yeah.
And that's the H-bomb. And what I mean by an H-bomb is you risk, and this is kind of an extreme example, but it is possible that there are examples in the world where it's happened, what's called hyperinflation.
Yeah.
Hyperinflation is where the value of your currency falls by the minute.
We're going to keep that point going when we come back from the other side of grabbing some snacks and some water, because I want to talk about that as well, and really just break down the fact that when it comes to inflation, hyperinflation, stagnation, it's a lot to take in, and people who know nothing about it including this guy sometimes, speaks way too much on the topic. We are speaking with Rick Reed. He is an economics professor at Fox Valley Tactical College. We'll be talking more about the economy. Get in touch, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You listen to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating and will be back before you know it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can always leave a comment on the live stream. Currently, we are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And I really encourage you to get on the live stream because our guest, Rick Reed, who is an economics instructor from Fox Valley Technical College, didn't just bring his A game as far as the expertise. He brought visual aids. And I would say play on word pun-based visual aids as well. So you want to stick around for the visual aids. Rick, first of all, again, thank you for being here. And before we went to go grab some snacks and come back, you were talking about hyperinflation. And I feel like that term sits in the same place as stagflation and the fact that, you know, while if you ask the average American, and I'm use that term not a pejorative, if you ask the average American, where should inflation be? They're going to say zero because zero is better than one and better than two. But really when it comes down to it is if two is about the place you want to be between 1.5 and 2, because if you get to zero, you get to stagflation. And then talk to me about hyperinflation so people just understand that it's not just a simple numbers game in that sense of what we would calculate. It's more about, once again, I'm gonna keep saying it, the nuance of it all.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for raising that topic, because the issue around inflation, we always want some inflation, modest inflation. You're right, 2% is the Fed's goal. And part of the reason they want 2% is you don't want to get to zero, because at zero, you're right on the fence line to falling into deflation. Deflation is the real red flashing light thing, because when you get into deflation, that's very painful. It's hard to reverse. And it puts you into a downward spiral very rapidly for a long time. So 2% is just a little bit above that. You're always going to have about 2% or so. We're running about 2.9% right now, which is still not horrible. I mean, 2.9% is livable, but in an ideal world, we want to bring that down just a tad. Stagflation, by the way, just a quick moment. The term got coined back in the 1970s when Tricky Dick Nixon was in charge, you know, the guy that wasn't a crook, and he tried to mess with the Fed to help him get reelected. That's a classic example of one of the dangers. When we talk about hyperinflation, what we're talking about is inflation where you're not talking about 1, 2, 3%. You're talking about 100 or 1,000%. Mm-hmm. You're talking about getting paid at the end of the day, going to the grocery store and realizing that the prices have already doubled since the day before.
Yeah.
That's hyperinflation. And that's incredibly disruptive and painful. There are a handful of examples throughout history where it's happened, and it's almost always happened has always happened, where you have the elected officials getting control over monetary policy, because they view that as an easy way to print money to pay the bills, when that's really not the way you want to manage it.
And honestly, I'm looking it up right now. I remember his name now. The one example that I think of when it comes to hyperinflation that comes to mind is Robert Mugabe, who ran Zimbabwe and took control of the monetary, and it became the fact that, like, you know, their dollar to buy a dinner would be billions of dollars when it would really equate to like $40, because when the government gets in, when an autocratic or dictator type gets into office, they'll mess with the money. And if you want to look up a modern example of hyperinflation, look at the Zimbabwean currency under Robert Mugabe, because that was came to the place where they had to actually, the U.S. dollar had to come in as the official dollar to cool things down, because people just couldn't afford to live.
Exactly. It became prohibitive. And the other element that you want to kind of keep in the back of your mind is that when you're talking about inflation, you're talking about the average level of prices and wages rising. Prices always rise sooner and faster than wages.
Yeah. Yes.
So the higher the inflation, the more further behind people that work for a living are going to get.
And we live in this is a piece of opinion, a base that looks on history, is like right now the trend for this country is that wages far are behind of the cost of increased costs, whether it's housing, food, services. We're doing much more. We have to do much more with much less. And the argument for, I'm just going to use this real quick too, is the argument for a minimum wage being $15 is so old that people who are like, yeah, let's do it. Now experts are saying, no, it needs to be 20. You missed the boat. It's still $7.25. It needs to be 20. And we're not trying to make people millionaires. We're trying to just be able to, they can afford their apartments and maybe buy a house one day. So, Rick, I always appreciate you coming in, and I mean, never stop doing the visual aids now. That is mandatory. Mandatory. But I really appreciate you reaching out. I really appreciate you stopping by and giving us your take on this, and really the fact that if in calmer times, the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, wouldn't be trying to put his thumb on the Fed chair to make America look better again. He would just let them do their jobs and make policy to help make the economy better.
Exactly. Central bankers have the motivation to stabilize the economy and assure things like full employment. Elected officials, they might want to do public good, but they also want to get reelected and help their political position. So two very different motivations, and it influences the way they make decisions.
Rick Reed is an economics instructor at Fox Valley Technical College. He is our guest. He brought the visual aids. Rick, thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll talk to you sooner than later, pal.
You as well. Take care.
All right. When we come back, we got some weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. What's going to be the weather update for this weekend? You got to find out. Tune in. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A package of bills has been introduced by Wisconsin Democrats that they say would benefit workers. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Most notably, if passed, their plan would repeal Act 10. The controversial law, championed by then-Governor Scott Walker, curbed collective bargaining rights for public sector employees. State Senator Mark Spreitzer.
This proposal will restore workplace fairness and ensure that those who benefit from union representation are contributing their fair share so that we can build strong unions that can make sure we have good wages and working conditions for everyone.
The bills would also strengthen laws against misclassification. That's basically where employers can call their employees independent contractors when they're really not. Democratic lawmakers say that can have a wide range of impacts. Businesses can avoid paying payroll taxes and unemployment, and they don't have to provide health and safety benefits. Larry Statz owns his contracting business. He says companies that misclassify their employees are saving so much money, they're able to undercut businesses who are following the law, like his.
More and more competitors have adopted the illegal business model of misclassification, where they mislabel their actual workers as independent contractors. They avoid paying taxes, Social Security, workman's comp, and unemployment benefits, a responsibility that honest employers like us take on every day.
This package of bills would also reinstate prevailing wage laws. Republicans repealed Wisconsin's in 2015. All 60 Democrats in the state assembly and state senate have signed on to these bills. However, because they don't have the majority, they're unlikely to go anywhere without Republican support. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
You can read more about the package of bills on our website or by visiting the Wisconsin State Legislature website. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Neil Diamond fans might want to start making plans for the holidays. Song Sung Blue, named after the Neil Diamond hit, finally has a release date and will hit theaters nationwide on Christmas Day. The perfect day to give us a reprieve from Christmas tunes. The film is based on a true story of a Wisconsin-based couple who formed a Neil Diamond tribute band called Thunder and Lightning. Mike and Claire Sardina were down on their luck musicians living in Milwaukee. Once they started performing together and singing those feel-good Diamond tunes, they became a local phenomenon. The film is based on the 2008 documentary of the same name by Greg Coe. The film has serious star power. The cast is led by Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, with an ensemble that includes The Sopranos' Michael Imperioli, Ella Anderson, and Jim Belushi. Song Sung Blue is directed by Craig Brewer. Go to YouTube and check out the trailer, waiting with bated breath to find out if Sweet Caroline will be in the film. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the...
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog early, along with a spotty shower or two. Otherwise, you can expect increasing sunshine with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s, sunny and summery on Thursday with a high of 79. Currently, it's 62.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former ambassador and former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We discuss why the Epstein files matter more broadly for government accountability.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's currently vacating, who's currently out of the office, but will be returning before we know it, so you're stuck with me. But I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you're spending time with us today. We got Sweet Cal B on the boards, the board lord, the Calvinator, Calviente, El Calvinton of Perth. Is that good? I like that one. No, Calvin. Okay, Calvin said nothing, so he doesn't like that. I'll never say that again. But your list, yeah. It's
not a bad idea. It just needs some workshop.
Thank you. Okay, cool. We'll polish it up. We'll polish that pooper up. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we are here with you today. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Got a lot more show coming up. We got 1052. We got This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Dumpus Illuminatus Edition. Don't go anywhere, especially if you're a Harry Potter fan. And also, we got great programming coming up after us, as well as Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Pete Alba from On Nightlife from 6 to 8, and then great stuff in the evening as well. So if you want to learn more, go to civicmedia.us/shows and find out all the programs we have for you, including Earl Ingram's new podcast, What's Going On. And right now, I'll tell you what's going on. It's time for some weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist, writer, friend. Brittany, how are you today?
Oh, thank you. I'm great now with that intro. Jeez. Thanks, Greg.
I'm just going to follow you around and say, great, like award-winning. And you'll be at the market and be like, I'm just trying to buy bread.
Be like, shh, call them everything. Oh, it is nice, though. It is nice. How, you got the sun out by you right now? Are you the only one hanging on to a little bit of sunshine?
I think so. Yeah, we've been pretty immune to all of the craziness weather-wise down here in southeastern Wisconsin. It's been coolish. We've been in the 70s. It's that 70s cool. It's not hot 70s. It's coolish 70s, right, where you don't turn the air on, but you also don't hesitate to turn the heat on, because at night it will change. And that's what I've been seeing down here, because I am a not trained meteorologist. I'm a guy who sticks his thumb up in there and goes, the wind's blowing that way. But we've been getting 70s days, and then, you know, lower 60s nights, or early 50s, upper 50s nights as well. So yeah. What are you seeing around the state? What are you seeing around southeastern Wisconsin? And what's the forecast going to be looking like over the next few days into next week?
Absolutely. So you've got a little bit of a front moving through. So a few spotty showers as those winds switch to off the lake could happen. So you're going to get a little bit of a lake breeze today. And of course, temperatures probably in the mid 70s for you. So overnight fog moving in. It was thick up north. You could barely see this morning. And we are looking at more and more sun as we go through this week. So the crummy, dreary type of weather that we're dealing with now is going to be gone. And we're going to start to warm up. So if you remember last week, this time we were talking about record cold high temperatures hitting. So just a couple of days ago, and now we're looking at summer weather starting to sneak right back in. I told y'all to hang on. It would be here, and it is. So
I told friends and family, I said, hey, first I said, fall is here, summer's gone. And then we got warmer weather, and they looked at me and said, I apparently wasn't listening to Brittany. And then I said, well, it's going to be warm. It's going to be nice. And then it was upper 50s at night, and they looked at me again. I said, I don't know. I don't win awards. Brittany does. You want the weather? Talk to her. But yeah, it's a very interesting, you know, in certain times, especially in the late summer, in that July, August, it can be very unpredictable, but also very uncomfortable. I feel like where we're at right now with the weather, I can personally operate well, because I can take 55 to 72 and not have to worry about opening every window so I can sleep at night.
Right, right. Well, AC units might start to crank up again as we go into this weekend.
Yeah.
We are going to get warmer. Mm-hmm. We are going to see more humidity start to sneak in too. So muggy as soon as Friday. That holds through the whole weekend and even into next week. So we're looking at climbing to the upper 70s, near 80 degrees by Friday for a majority of the state. Low 80s on Saturday. However, there is rain rolling in. So in the morning, you could see some rain early Saturday morning. It'll clear out and be a nice day in the afternoon. Sunday, we're going to the mid 80s. across the state. So it's going to get warm, and we're going to hang on to those low 80s too as we go into next week. Now, I was looking ahead because our fall colors are already starting to change up here in Wausau area, far up north. We're starting to see them, certain trees, and we are looking cooler next weekend. So I think with the sun this week, the cooler temperatures behind it, those colors are going to be popping right around the corner. We're also looking at some more warmth still later on, too. So while we may cool down into next weekend, I still see 80s for the end of the month. A roller coaster.
I'm about to ask a dumb question, and you can feel free to answer this as soon as possible, the quickest way possible, and make fun of me while doing it. Once that's all done, though, that mid-80s Sunday, do you see any other heat ear waves, more summer temperatures happening? Or do you think then, all right, we're moving into October. It's keep them sweaters out.
Right. So what I'm thinking and seeing right now is this is going to be our last extended 80s, right? We're going to feel them from Friday all the way through almost Wednesday or Thursday next week. So a whole week of 80s sticking with us, that's not going to happen again, I don't believe. What I see at the end of the month is a day or two spiking to about upper 70s, low 80s. Here and there kind of thing as the temperatures slowly trend cooler. Because by the time we end September, our average highs across the state should only be in the upper 60s. So 80s is woo!
Quoted here today on Matt and Aaron Air, Brittany Merlot with the un-fall-like heat. Woo! All right.
Woo!
Get your Ric Flair out because we're going woo today. Now, something else that you spoke to me about is the fact that there is a new, so NOAA put out a tool, you said, a new tool for flood inundation forecasting through the National Weather Service. Tell me more about that, because that, I talked to you last week about a great piece of equipment that helps protect yourself, helps keep you safe through satellites, but this is something totally different. Tell us some more about this tool from NOAA.
Yeah, so this tool is pretty cool. It's not really for us to necessarily use, like you're not going to be able to go home and play around with this one, but it's going to be filtered down and very, 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 very helpful for all of us. So it's called Flood Inundation Maps, and it's coming from the Water Prediction Center, the National Water Prediction Service Center as well. And what they're doing is taking, it's pretty cool. So they already have these forecasts for rivers and flooding. We already know that these forecasts are out there, but this is like a spatial, high-resolution, street-level view where it actually shows water rising in certain places and where that flood is expected to occur. Now, they already have data like this, but this is really cutting-edge, advanced, where there's emergency managers across the country saying, man, if we had this a couple of years ago, we wouldn't have set up an emergency crew in this certain area that ended up getting flooded by a river. We would have evacuated more areas that we would have seen. And it's just cool to really see that we're getting better as forecasters in the National Weather Service and NOAA with these tools, with this advancement to help in these situations, because we all know that more rain events and heavier rain events are the new thing. It's happening. Southern Wisconsin especially is already in that trend. Northern Wisconsin's jumping on the train. So with more floods in the future, rivers rising, heavier rain, this is amazing to have. And it was just released last week for Western Wisconsin. So only the Mississippi River Valley has it right now.
Yeah.
But by next year, it's going to cover the entire U.S. 3.6 million river miles will be with this awesome thing where you can just see the water rising, where it's going to go, and what town or what house or what street will be covered with water.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's something that I've spoken to you about many times. We talked to Dr. Ben Weston from the Milwaukee County Emergency Planning Department, as well as Chief Jim Case from Wauwatosa. He's fire chief of Wauwatosa. And this is, you know, while the cleanup is still happening and there's still assessments being done by NOAA, we need to look at planning, and we cannot look at if it's going to be about when from now. And we need to make this a part of our lives, understanding that whether it's getting our basements redone, which I understand cost, but getting your basements redone, flood insurance, floodplain updating, these are all the tools we need to get us prepared for the future. And I understand that a direct answer probably isn't available at this moment, but we have seen threats to funding for the National Weather Service and NOAA. And what you always seem to bring are proof positives that these groups are important and vital to keeping us safe and informed. Do you see the cutting of funding or the movement or the closure of any departments influencing certain tools like this? Or are they safe right now? Like right now we're working with what we got, but we got to be on the lookout because the hand from the White House might come down and say, we don't need that stuff. Just go outside. And if it's raining, walk away.
Yes, that is definitely a worry. So it is kind of shocking and awesome to see this new stuff coming out and these tools available. And I know that they're going to use it as much as they can while they have it. I hope that's not a cut in the future, but I mean, they're already low. They're already stressed. There's ripple effects. So I'm hoping that this tool will help the fact that we can visualize it and see that. And I hope there's no cuts. I don't see any in the future in this specific area. But you never, ever know.
It's important to stay vigilant on this, everybody, because things like this now will have a... I mean, they always did, but now, especially if you live in southeastern Wisconsin, we have to be on the lookout. And I hate to say, you know, the double C word, but it's the truth. Climate change is also a factor in this. So we have to be vigilant on what we know and how we contribute and how we can stay prepared. Speaking of prepared, Brittany... What are you prepared to do this weekend? What are you up to? What is, you know, it's, I know you're a snow, you're not a snowbird, you're not old, but you love the snow, but you're not there yet, but you love this cooler weather. What are you planning to do in this last maybe hot weekend of 2025?
I'm going to live up the summer vibe. I'm probably going to be out on the lakes, kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, anything I can do to soak up the last little bit of heat.
Yeah.
Because yes, my season, snow season, is coming soon.
And you are excited for that? I mean, are you seeing in the last few moments we have together here today, do you see good snow in the future?
I do, actually, because we are in a La Nina watch. Mm-hmm. I think that pattern is going to flip. I think we're going to get some systems. We're going to get some cold spells and we're going to see a little bit more, which is good news for the Northwoods. Right. 2 years ago, no trails open for snowmobiling or skiing or anything. Last year was decent. Not the best. So we're ready for a better one.
Excellent. Well, I'm hoping for all the snow for exactly for where you live, because I just am over shoveling and snow. Yeah, I'll just ship it all to you via the mail. It'll come back to you as water, so you just have to put it in the freezer. But before you know it, it'll be snow, and you'll be so happy. Speaking of happy, Brittany, I always love having you on the show. Love doing weather and wine with you. Love talking about these issues, talking about these updates, and I appreciate your time and expertise. If you want to know more about Brittany and her award-winning journalism... go to civicmedia.us/news. You can find everything she's working on. Brittany, have yourself a lovely weekend. I know you're going to be out of town having some time off. Enjoy yourself. You deserve it. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Dumpus Eliminatus edition. Get your wands ready, because when we return, we're talking Tisbat. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
Weather and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's Civic Media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community, and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490. This is what lacrosse is talking about. This is Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490. Eagle 1490. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinaire on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinaire, who is currently vacating and will be back before you know it. But you got me, you got Sweet Cal B. We're going to keep polishing up some new nicknames for him. But if you want to get in touch with us, you can always call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you can leave a comment on the live stream that is on Facebook, YouTube, and what we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we have lots of programming left in the day, including Todd Alba from 2 to 4. Actually, following us after the news break is Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, and then Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8, and then even when that's done, we still have great programming in the evening. We got the Rick Smith Show, we have Native Roots Radio. So you don't want to miss anything, and you can do that. And I want to talk about this really quick, because we got a text from someone listening on WISS, and they were talking about the fact that they wanted to listen to more of the talk stuff, not so much the music. And that's fine. Do what you want. Civic Media has great talk programs, have great music programs as well. If you want to listen to talk, but you can't do it through your terrestrial radio, get the Civic Media app. Download it right now on your device. It's absolutely free. That way you can pick a station and listen to whatever you want, where, and I should say qualified, not whatever, because you can't listen to Brewers or Packers on the app, but you can listen to me right now if you so choose. If you listen in a place where on your terrestrial radio you're getting a different show and you're like, hey, I really want to listen to Greg Bock talk. I don't know why, but okay. Get the Civic Media app. Choose WAUK. That's our station that we come out of right now. And you can listen to us, and then you can listen to Tom Hartman, and then Maggie Dawn, Todd Alba. It's good to go. But that Civic Media app will help you choose the programming you like to hear through the stations you want to listen to. And it's absolutely free. Put that on your device. And then you can take part in our text to win contests that are happening, including this week, Free Ticket Friday, where we're going to be giving away a 4-pack of club level Brewers tickets. And you have to have the Civic Media app to participate. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow, but that free word is coming on Friday, and you're going to text it in, and then we'll get you entered. Got a lot of chances. And then, from what I understand, coming down the pike, another statewide text-to-win contest as well. So we'll have more information as we hear I'll let you know. But just get that Civic Media app in your life, and then it takes care of so much. So much. Really quick on the live stream, we were talking to Brittany Merlot about the weather, and PJ says, good, I can get some outside house painting done. Exactly. I think I might use this weekend if it's nicer to do some much-needed yard work. So, yeah, we're going to reuse that those last few warm, coolish days before winter comes to get some stuff done. But, yeah, thank you to Brittany Merlot. It is 10:53 and a half. I talk too much, Kelvin. It's time for another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it to Kelvin, Jane, and me. Ha ha ha. Jane says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S at civicmedia.us. If you have a This Shouldn't Be a Thing suggestion, a guest suggestion, subject suggestion, send it to us via the email, janesaysatcivicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing comes way of Lad Bible, which I don't really know much about that, but okay. Lad Bible is a website. I've seen some of their videos. This Calvin found this for us. Brenna Cooper has the byline. Folks, get ready. It's going to get a little dirty. Harry Potter fans are leaving feces at popular filming locations, and locals have had enough. It's been 14 years since Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 hit cinemas, but fans of the Wizarding World don't appear to be letting go of Hogwarts anytime soon. So apparently what is happening, they are visiting various places around the countryside where they filmed the movie, including it's called the Glenfinnan Viaduct in Scotland, where they took the train to or from Hogwarts. It's a very, very famous area. People are visiting it like they do for Star Wars, like they do for other movies, taking pictures. The problem is it sees about 500,000 tourists a year, and it's not a big area. And it's also not built for sightseeing in the sense. So the problem is that car parks are becoming overflowing. People are just parking their cars on the grass as large influx of individuals wanting to watch the steam train pass. It's causing tensions with the locals. And it's not just that, but people are actually, they're emptying. If they're, they have an RV of some sort, the car parks aren't the only things that are busy. One resident revealed that visitors have been leaving behind their waste disposal from vehicles in their chemical toilets in the drains in front of the houses. And these drains are meant for fresh water. These are freshwater drains, and people are putting their business in there. And the folks are very, very upset about this. Look, you can love Harry Potter. We can talk more about that another time. I have thoughts on that. But if you're going to visit these areas, respect the land, respect the people. There are places to dispose of this stuff. You don't have to do it in someone's front lawn or in their fresh water drain. That's disgusting. That's harmful. Go to a petrol station. Yeah, that's right. I said petrol, because this is a story that takes place in the UK. But this shouldn't be a thing. Be respectful. Wait for a bathroom at a Burger King or something. But don't do this. It just makes people really, really not want you in their neighborhood. When a neighborhood becomes a tourist attraction, you respect it. You thank them for allowing you to be a part of it. And you don't dump your poopies in their drain. That's all I'm going to say about that on this edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
I shouldn't have to say it, Calvin. I shouldn't have to, but I do. Thank you so much, Calvin. Thank you so much, our traffic department. Thank you, engineering, for you make everything work behind the scenes and make people listen to us, for the people who are listening, the people who are watching, commenting, texting, getting in touch with us, being a part of this show, sharing your time. Thank you. Without you, there is no us. As I said before, after the news, we got Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabe with Nightlight from 6 to 8. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. We got a great, great day ahead of you, and we're going to be talking about some great things with great people. Be a part of it. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently. Goodbye.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Hey,
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel coming under criticism for the attack targeting Hamas leaders in Doha. ABC's James Longman's there.
The strike causing international outcry. Qatar condemning the attack, calling it state terrorism and accusing Israel of sabotaging ceasefire talks. Israel says it was entirely justified, though Hamas called it a failure, claiming that none of its leaders were killed. Instead, they say it only killed security guards and the son of a Hamas leader, as well as a member of the Qatari security forces.
Israel carrying out another round of heavy airstrikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen today as well. Russia says it did not deliberately target Poland when it sent drones into Polish airspace. They were shot down by NATO and Polish jets. An encouraging report on inflation, prices at the wholesale level down more than economists had expected last month. Scientists say NASA's Mars rover finds the strongest hints yet of potential signs of ancient life by uncovering rocks in a dry riverbed. This is ABC News.